Here's Andy Udman.
So I lived out in South Dakota for a while, and I lived across the street from a buffalo farm. So every year in the little town that I lived in, they had this testicle festival, and everybody locally came and celebrated eating the testicles of the buffalo.
Anyone who cooks, anyone who's trained as a chef knows that is where the flavor is, and
right.
It doesn't go from your lips to your hips, right?
It's
that's the thing that we have to tell people. Just because you eat fat doesn't mean you will be fat. That's a big, big fallacy, and I think that people should realize if you eat fat, you will have something tasty and delicious, and you'll also be very satisfied. So I like to argue, eat fat, lose weight.
Yes, we should be eating the entire carcass of the animal. Our ancestors knew that when they killed an animal, the most sacred parts of the animal were things like the organ meats, like liver, brain, and so on.
I could have a tongue sandwich at a delicatessen in Toronto.
You could?
Yeah, Katz's Delicatessen on Dufferin Street. Beef, of course, being Jewish, not pork, but beef tongue.
Okay, stomach?
No, I can't do that.
Okay, liver?
Liver can do. Yeah, Richie's restaurant. Maybe
okay,
once a month I go there.
Here comes the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Testicles?
No. Testicles, I can't. What are you laughing at, Rick? Can you eat testicles?
What? Do you want fries with that, your testicles?
I can't believe how much fun you can have in radio. And this is going to be one fun hour. I want to start with a challenge. Do you eat tongue? 643-1290. If you can eat tongue, you deserve to be right at the front of the line. We're going to wait for you to call 643-1290. I see it in the stores. Could you eat head cheese? I don't even want to think about what head cheese is. Could you eat liver? I hate liver. Kidney? Stomach? Hooves? The hooves of animals? If you could eat any one of those, I want to hear from you. 643-1290. We're about to meet an author who says you should eat all of them, that you should eat an animal from snout to spout, to put it crudely, from one end to the other. I can't believe all that we have lined up. there come the lines, Pam Colleen. You started this. We are going to, I'm afraid to answer those lines. If you eat any of those organs that I mentioned, I want to hear from you. We're going to talk to a butcher in just a moment. Obviously, they do, Pam, because they sell them. The butcher sells them.
That's right. That's right. And usually it's the more, you know, European customers that are looking for these parts of the animal because they haven't lost that wisdom yet in their cuisine.
Let's go to the phone lines. George, you're up first. Let's make it good. George, which one of the organs that I mentioned do you eat?
Oh, I've eaten tongue. I like head cheese. Testicles, I'm not into too much. But I come from a family of my mom and dad on a farm used to have all that and used every bit of the animal. And by golly, I don't know. I haven't had any tongue in a while, and I kind of miss that.
What does it feel like to chew on a cow's tongue?
It's actually very tender. You don't eat the skin. You kind of peel that back. But the actual tongue itself is a very nice, tender meat. Especially if it's cooked right, and somehow Mom just knew how to do it.
Do you understand that some people can't get their brain around eating a tongue?
Oh, I definitely can. I understand that. But when you're brought up and taught to use up all the parts of the animal as you grow, it's just a normal thing back on the farm.
It's very normal. Our ancestors always ate the entire carcass of the animal.
It was very normal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today,
yeah.
You mention it to people. Okay, the testicle thing, you said you're not into it, but have you ever?
No, I haven't, but I tell you, steak and kidney pie, boy, the kidneys and the steak and the gravy that she used to make up, all that type of thing. We used to make use of every bit of the animal. Now, I don't ever remember the testicles, though.
I see. Okay. George, you get a high five for being man enough to call and man enough to share that you eat all those body parts. Let's go to Patricia. Patricia, what do you eat that
well,
I wouldn't?
Well, what I have in my freezer right now is a beef tongue, and I do have some beef tripe in there. With the beef tongue, just like the first caller said, I will boil it with lots of onions, carrots, celery until it's really tender. And then you just stick it under a bit of cold water. You peel that skin off. You can eat it warm, really nice, with potatoes and salad, whatever, or you get it cold, and then you can slice it really thin, as Steve said, and have a a tongue sandwich. It's absolutely amazing. The same with the tripe. I make a soup for my husband. Obviously, we're European, and so we, you know, we're raised with this kind of stuff. I make my own steak and kidney pies. I have to admit, I haven't tried testicle. Just, first of all, I think because it's never been placed before me. But you know what? If I was hungry and I had nothing else, it's meat. It's all part of the, you know, it's all part of the animal. And so if I had to eat it, of course I would eat it. My mom used to make the best head cheese. And she would get a half of a pig's head and boil it up with pig's feet and ham hocks. And then she would strip off all of that absolutely tender, juicy meat. We now call it pulled pork when we use a pork butt. And she would put it in the gelatin with onions and stuff and let it go cold in the fridge. And we would slice it to put on sandwiches or just in pieces to put a bit of onions and vinegar on it. And we ate it, and it was delicious.
And have you had good health?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My husband, for example, loved brains. And when he worked in Kitchener 35, 40 years ago, he would bring them home from Kitchener, from the Kitchener market, and I would prepare them. Now, I have to admit, I mean, as a child, my parents did feed it to me. When I got older, I just didn't prefer them. It wasn't my thing. But I made them for him.
Okay. Now, one question before we let you go and get to Patricia, and that is this. Did you ever serve tongue to your guests and not tell them what it was until they're about halfway through?
No, I make it mainly for us because we're the two, and our kids, when they were younger, they would look at it and go, oh, we don't want to eat this.
You know, if you had certain guests and you served them tongue, or especially testicles,
I would have no problem, because tongue truly, as the gentleman said before, is so moist and tender. It tastes purely like really good braised beef.
Vicki, there are some people who can't go there, and if you told them halfway through the meal, you would have a serious incident at the table, I assure you. Vicki, I appreciate it. Let's go to Patricia. Is this Vicki?
This is Vicki.
Go ahead, Vicki. What's your story?
Oh, good stuff. We were always brought up a farm girl, European background. Yes, you didn't waste anything.
Okay, so you ate what parts of the animal that I might not?
Well, one of my favorites was the pig's tail, getting it roasted, and the ears. It was like, oh, if you were really good and you herped, it was like, you know, we're brothers and sisters. Who was going to get that best part? But, yes, the tongue, very delicious, very tender. What I didn't like, it was one of my jobs of having to clean it, you know. There are certain parts, and I know I had called earlier just because when I first put the radio on, I heard about it, but my husband and I many years ago went to Toronto to our first Toronto hockey game, but we went to a beautiful buffet place, and of course, there was something different, and I didn't know what it was.
Vicki, what's the grossest thing you've ever ate? Gross in the minds of other people?
It was a type of fish thing that I had that I got ill on.
Oh, that you got ill on?
That I got ill on, yeah.
I see. Okay. Listen, we have to leave it there. Pam, we just have to get to our guest this morning. I am holding this beautiful book, beautiful cover. It is called Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal.
Mm-hmm.
How common is this at butcher shops in London? Could I go to Cohn's Butcher Shop in East London and get sheep testicles?
I don't know about that, but I know that it is very uncommon to buy a lot of the innards of the animal at most butchers today.
I mentioned Cohn's because Jeff Greenwood is on the line. He is a butcher at Cohn Meat Market. These sound like your customers, Jeff.
Sometimes, yeah.
Jeff, tell us what animal body parts that you provide that maybe not all butcher shops do.
Well, yeah, I heard you mention hooves. We do have feet. We do the oxtail, pigtails, pig tongues, beef tongue, heart, beef intestine, which is a lot of the Spanish people like that for barbecuing. And I'm just trying to think. There's a lot of things. Sometimes the sweetbreads, which I think is the thyroid gland.
If you're at a dinner party and people ask you the question, what gross parts of the animal do you sell, what would the top three items be that would gross some people out?
I would think the intestines and the tongue, pig tongues, and the hooves, and tripe as well.
And yet you have them available there at Cohn's Meat Market in East London.
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
Well, do most butcher shops or not?
I couldn't say, but I think that we try to keep things to look after a whole different crowd.
Is this mostly, I don't want to make any assumptions, an ethnic crowd?
Not always. I grew up eating all that stuff, too, but my father was a butcher as well.
Wow. So you don't cringe at all when you're eating liver, kidney, stomach, tongue?
No, not really. I don't prefer some of the things. Like, I'm not a big liver fan, but I love tongue and heart.
I notice there's no burger chain with a hoof sandwich special.
No, not a big seller, I guess.
No.
No, but also, I've never been asked for testicles here. I've been asked for pizzle, which you can just imagine what that is.
That's the other part of the crown jewels.
That is correct.
I see.
We do get asked for that.
I see. Jeff, very kind of you to join us and confirm that Andy's not making this stuff up. It is available at Cone Meat Market in East London.
That is true.
What was that word again? I hadn't heard that word before.
Pizzle.
And how do you spell that?
I would say P-I-Z-Z-E-L, kind of.
I see.
That way, I'm not
pizzle.
Sure. Yeah.
Pizzle.
Well, maybe our next guest can elaborate on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Jeff, very kind of you to join us. Thank you so
not
much.
Not a problem. Thanks.
You know what? We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with the author of this book. And I'm holding it. It's Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal. And we have a real treat for you. A little later in the hour, we're going to meet a man. He's sitting next to me who has lost, I can't believe this, not 10 pounds or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, 105. 105 pounds. How did he do it? Eating some of the things we've just been discussing.
Disgusting or
yes.
Discussing?
No, I chose that. Deliberate. Items we've just been discussing. We'll be back with that in just a moment. Here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
It's our way of making sure you get the right tires for your vehicle, the way you drive.
I could have a tongue sandwich at a delicatessen in Toronto.
You could?
Yeah, Katz's Delicatessen on Dufferin Street. Beef, of course, being Jewish, not pork, but beef tongue.
Okay, stomach?
No, I can't do that.
Okay, liver?
Liver can do. Yeah, Richie's restaurant. Maybe once a month I go there.
Here comes the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Testicles?
No. Testicles, I can't. What are you laughing at, Rick? Can you eat testicles? What? You want fries with that? Your testicles?
Pam, I love this book. The author is Jennifer McLagan. It is called Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal. What are those body parts on the front? By
I way? Think one is some sort of steak, and the other would be hooves, I think, yeah.
Hooves.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put this on our coffee table this weekend. We're expecting company, and just see what the reaction of the company is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you introduce Jennifer?
Yes, I'm honored this morning to have Jennifer McLagan. She's a James Beard Award-winning author and chef, and she's based out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Did you hear some of our guests calling in this morning, Jennifer?
Yes, testicles is always the big one, I think. And I think if people tried them without knowing what they were, they would love them.
Did you hear the butcher mention the word pizzle?
Yes, I'm afraid that is one part I have yet to eat.
I see. Okay. we won't dwell there. I had never even heard the word before. But Jennifer, what's the message of your book, Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal?
I think the message is that, you know, if we're going to raise animals to kill them for their meat, then we should honor them by eating all of them. We can't just take the steaks and the chops, right? We need to eat every part of the animal and not throw it away, especially in today's society. And plus, some of these parts are tasty and absolutely delicious if they're cooked properly.
And our ancestors would have recognized the fact that these parts were indeed the most nutrient-dense parts of the animal as well.
Well, things like the heart and the liver. And also, it's not really our ancestors. It sounds so far away. It's like my mother cooks all these parts, right? It's not. It's just a generation that seems to have skipped it because steaks and chops have become so cheap from factory farming. And these parts are much more delicious and much more worthwhile and much more interesting to cook than a steak.
Well, you know, Pam mentions our ancestors, but, I mean, we just heard from the butcher. There are all kinds of people who told us in the last few minutes, that's what my mom cooked.
Yeah, exactly. And it's only just this gap in North America. You go almost anywhere else in the world, and these parts are the parts that people want to buy. You know, tongue tacos, tripe stew, all these dishes are very popular everywhere outside of North America.
Now, your book, Odd Bits, is one of a trilogy. You've written three gorgeous cookbooks all about eating traditional foods. One is called Fats and the other is called Bones. So you really sort of step outside of the box in terms of what the normal thinking is today.
Yeah, well, it's not like six quick pasta recipes or something, but I like the idea that people should think about what they're eating and think about these things like bones, like making soup and stock, and not be afraid to eat fat. You know, this is just a recent phenomenon when we've been scared of all these foods. And all these foods are what we've been eating for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, and they're all excellent and good for us. And a lot of this stuff is cheap. People are always complaining, you know, how expensive things are. But you buy a heart, a huge piece of meat, you can stew it, you can barbecue it, you can even eat it raw. It's tartare. It's delicious.
Jennifer, 90%, 95%, maybe 98% of people don't eat all this stuff. So what happens to a cow's?
You know what happens? When I was back home, I'm from Australia originally, I was in the butcher's store with my mother, and I was so excited because they had heart, and then I looked at the sign above it, and it said dog food for your pets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that's just such a waste of such a good resource.
Well, here you're saying the food is excellent nutritionally.
Yep.
And secondly, it's cheap.
Yep. It's just people have forgotten how to cook it, or they don't know. I mean, they don't have to have like a heart on their plate. I tell people, buy heart, grind it up, and mix it into your burger mix and have a fabulously tasty burger that's the mixture of ground beef and ground beef heart.
I'm thinking maybe there's an idea here for a new restaurant chain called The
Odd
Other...
Bits?
The Other...
Odd Bits, yeah.
Odd Bits, yeah. Or The Other Body Parts, how to cook the rest of the animal.
I think if you did that, if you presented it to people and you know, they got over that thing that's between their ears in their head that they don't like it, even though they've never had it or never tasted it, or only had it very badly cooked, they'd be really pleasantly surprised. You wouldn't believe how many people I've converted to tongue, for example, who, when they see that tongue in the butcher's store, don't like the look of it. But the meat is creamy and rich and smooth and tasty. It's absolutely fabulous.
See, you just got to come up with another word. If you could call it animal flap or something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you have butts, you know, you eat butt and you eat cow's bottom and, you know, there's parts, you know, you're just eating the back of the cow when you're eating a chop. You know, it's just, it probably needs some good PR.
Good PR. That's what it is going to take to sell at Loblaws sheep testicles, believe me. Folks, you want to stay tuned. We are going to talk to Jennifer McClagan at some length in the next half hour about her book. And then we're going to meet a man who is sitting across the table from me who works, ironically, in a London grocery store. And Jennifer, you're going to love this story. He had a problem with his weight, went to his doctor. They talked about heart surgery and all kinds of extreme solutions to his problems. He decided he was going to start eating the way Pam Colleen has been suggesting. He has lost, get this, Jennifer, not 10 pounds, not 20 pounds, not 30, but John Cranin, how many pounds?
105.
Wow.
105, as in 105 pounds, which many human beings I know weigh that much?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And hoping to lose some more.
I have about 60 more to go.
Wow. Through eating stuff that most people don't eat because they think it'll make them fat. Folks, we're learning, and we're having fun. We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Fat is not a four-letter word. Not in my house, anyway. I guess I grew up. I just grew up with fat. You know, we always had fat in our house. In our refrigerator, we had a wax container of lard that we used to use for baking and frying in. And, you know, fat isn't the villain. We took fat out of a lot of things, and what did we put in there instead? Starch and sugar, and
right.
I think that's what made us fat.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know my story or not, but that's how I was able to lose weight, was I ate a greater amount of fat in my diet and took away a lot of those refined carbohydrates and really, for all intents and purposes, just about all the carbohydrates that were in my diet, and lost 180 pounds in 1 year.
180 pounds in 1 year, Pam?
Mm-hmm. That was Jimmy Moore. Yeah, he's got a podcast and features information on the importance of animal fat in the diet.
Boy, are we going to give you your money's worth the next few minutes, folks. We're going to have author Jennifer McClagan go through her three books, Odd Bits, Fat, and Bones. And make sure you have a pencil because you are going to learn so much. Pam, we were just talking about what you like to call Jennifer McClain.
I like to call Jennifer the Julia Child of Canada. But what she does is she takes Julia Child's work and she puts it on steroids, in essence, because Jennifer not only understands the importance of animal fat and all the odd bits and so on and bone broth, she knows the nutritional reasons why these foods are so important.
Jennifer, I wonder if we can do this because I want to leave our audience with as much information in a short period of time as we can. Let's go through each of the books in about 90 seconds. Could you can you summarize, first of all, the message of Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal?
It's just about using the rest of the animal because that's what you should do. It's cheap, it's morally responsible thing to do, and there's lots of interesting ways to cook the rest of the animal without having a pizzle on your plate.
A pizzle, folks. Yeah, that's a new word I learned today. The second book, Fat, simply named Fat, An Appreciation of a Misunderstood Ingredient with Recipes.
That's right. It's basically arguing that good quality animal fat is what you should be eating. It's good for you. It makes your food taste delicious. And we never had any problems until we started cutting fat out of our diet. Everything that's fat-free, low-fat, or no-fat is what's making us fat.
When I look at these books, these beautifully bound books, Jennifer, I don't know how anyone could read a book on Kindle instead of actually picking up one of your beautiful books. And the third book, named simply Bones, Recipes, History, Love.
It's because bones give you, you know, the closer to the bone, the sweeter the meat. And it's true. You know, we buy everything boneless and we're just... Every time we go to the butcher and buy something boneless, we've paid for those bones. So we should take them home and make some stock or just use the bones to make a roasting rack when we roast something. I mean, it's just so easy to cook something with a bone in, and it's so much tastier.
Now, Andy, I see you're chewing on something. What are you eating? Andy's got a little snack here that John was kind enough to bring in this
John
morning.
John brought me something. John, what am I eating?
It's called a Parmesan crisp. It's basically a tablespoon of shredded Parmesan, not the stuff out of a craft shaker. And you put it in the oven for about 5 minutes at 400 degrees, and it melts, turns a nice golden brown. Zero carbohydrates, and they're delicious, and they're filling.
And he's lost 105 pounds. We're going to get to his story in just a moment. Jennifer, you're Canadian. You came here from Australia.
Yes.
Do you still have to be a criminal to get into Australia?
No, actually, I got in without being a criminal.
I see. I love that bit Johnny Carson did about checking into customs at Australia, and they said, you have a criminal record? He said, you don't still have to do that, do you? But you came to Canada.
I came to Canada for the weather.
For the
I'm just joking.
I thought you were serious. Okay, and you spend your time between Toronto and Paris.
Yes. Toronto is a lot closer to Paris than Melbourne is, so...
Tell me how you've been received. Here you are talking about the importance of eating the animal snout to spout, as I call it. How's your message been received?
It's interesting. There's some people who think it's just weird, but there's a lot of people out there, especially with this book, who like to cook that and remember having tongue and have forgotten how to cook it and can't find it anymore. So I think people are very interested. The other thing, you know, with the other books like Fat, it was interesting. You know, people, one of the first questions people would always ask me is how much I weigh, because I eat fat, and it's like your guess there. I'm average weight, maybe a little, you know, thin, because I eat fat. You know, they just don't understand how it works, right? They have this very strange picture of eating all these things, it's going to make you sick, or if it's going to kill you because there's cholesterol, it's going to do this, it's going to do this. No, it isn't. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be here as a human race if these things were bad for us, because that's what we existed on until about 50 years ago.
That's right. And it's not really sustaining us to avoid these foods whatsoever. In fact, the foods that have displaced these nutrient-dense animal foods is really what's making us very sick today.
Yes, and they're all controlled by big food companies, and their interest isn't in our health. It's only interested in profit.
What is the biggest lie that we're being told today about nutrition?
I think that fat makes you fat, that animal fat is bad for you.
That's right. That's right. And see, a lot of people always ask, what is it about the animal fat? What's in the animal fat that is so healthy for us? And you talk about the omega-3 fats, for example, and the imbalance between omega-3 and omega-6 and how that is causing a lot of the problems.
That's very important. And people forget, you know, that omega-3 is this big thing now, and they think they have to eat fish and sardines and all that is good for you. But if the animals are raised, pastured animals, which, you know, that they're raised eating grass, they're eating something green, and therefore they have omega-3 in their system. So pastured animals, their fat is really good. And, you know, science is discovering all these things, that how important these fats are for you and how there's properties in these fats that actually boost your immune system, especially chicken fat. You know, every culture gives you chicken soup when you're sick. And if there's big globules of fat on the top, it's actually going to help you get better because it's going to boost your immune system.
And yet that phrase, low fat, has become sacred in our society.
It's terrible. It's like it's so hard to buy a full-fat yogurt, and you go to buy milk, and it's all like no fat, fat-free, and it's got all these vitamins in, and those vitamins they put in the milk are fat-soluble vitamins. So if you're not having fat, the vitamins are useless. It just makes no sense.
Do you have any more books that you're thinking of writing, Jennifer?
I'm moving past the carnivorous trilogy.
What do you mean by that?
I'm writing another book, but it's on a totally different subject.
Oh, I see.
What's the subject, if we may know?
It's about the taste of bitter.
Bitter?
Which is something that's very good for you, too, because mm-hmm. you think of dandelion greens and lots of weeds are full of, you know, those kind of wild foods are very good for you, too.
Yeah, jumpstart that liver and gallbladder, for sure.
Yeah. Good.
Jennifer, there's no question that in Canada and in the United States, we have an absolute crisis. It's a tree which has many branches, but the trunk is we are facing a financial disaster if we don't deal with our health crisis, whether it be diabetes, a heart disease, our aging population. We are facing toward a financial disaster. We're almost there already. You're saying that a key solution to addressing that is better nutrition.
I think a key solution is actually cooking dinner.
Cooking food from scratch.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, it doesn't have to be a 10-course meal. People buy everything in a package, you know, or pre-prepared or pre-made. They don't know what is in that food. Just go home and cook something from scratch. I mean, then everyone will be healthier.
And it's ironic, we have all these cooking shows on television. I think we're just living vicariously through these cooking shows because nobody seems to really be cooking from scratch, and that's what we should be doing.
We're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're helping because you offer not only the books, you offer recipes.
Yeah, and I hope I offer recipes that aren't too difficult, right? There's some that are more complicated for sure, but, you know, you get your butcher to grind up the heart for you and then mix it into your burger mix. How easy is that? Or into your meatloaf. That's so simple. It'll make it go further. It'll make it taste better. And it'll be even better for you than just regular ground beef.
Do you tell your kids what they're eating?
I don't have any kids, but my husband knows when he's eating testicles.
Now, John, who's a bachelor, he knows how to cook. He cooks these foods on his own. So, I mean, and this has just been a transition in your diet over the last year, for example.
Yes, I've been eating heart. I have about 3 pieces a day because I was up for heart surgery, but with the weight I've lost, my doctor gave me a thumbs up, said I'm a success story, and he said, we'll see you in half a year for a checkup, and maybe you look at surgery again in a year, but I want to see improvement in your numbers. And I've been told that eating heart is good for your heart, and I can imagine the CoQ10s and the enzymes that are in it and all that, and I'm hoping to see an improvement in my condition.
Jennifer, does that make sense that to delay your heart surgery, you eat heart?
I'm not sure about that, but, you know, it's very dense meat heart, and it's very satisfying. So you could probably have a couple of slices of heart and feel full and not want to eat anything else. And I think that's the problem. People have all these low-fat, no-fat foods, and they're hungry all the time, so they're continually snacking. And if you eat good quality food 3 times a day, you're going to be much better off than, like, just grazing and then having that crisis in the afternoon where you have to have some sugar or something. If you've eaten fat and quality meat, that's not going to happen to you.
Jennifer, we're going to let you go in just a couple of moments because we want to hear John's story about how he ate exactly what you're suggesting and he has lost 105 pounds. Can you share a testimony, someone who's been impacted by your books, by your approach to nutrition, and how it impacted their health?
I don't know if I can say someone impacted their health, but I know I've converted a lot of people who said, you know, I never eat tongue, it's so horrible, and I served it 2 ways for dinner. I invited the person to my house for dinner, I'd met them in Vancouver, they came, and they said, wow, I didn't realize how good it could be. And I think people need to just get rid of that prejudice between their ears. They might have had it very badly cooked, not cooked properly, and try it again. And just think about all the meat that's getting wasted when it gets thrown away or given to Fido or sent somewhere else in the world because they value it more. and just eat the whole animal.
Our neighbors, Jack and Olga, invited us for venison, and Marilyn was terrified for the weeks leading up to this. But she worked up to it, and she took one bite and looked at me and thought, and I could just see it in her eyes, oh, my goodness, what I've been missing.
Exactly.
It's that idea we have in our head that keeps us from eating some of these things.
That's right. You know, when I mention liver to people, they just cringe. They can't stand the thought of eating liver. And what Jennifer says makes complete sense, because if it's not properly cooked, it doesn't have the greatest taste or texture. It should be properly cooked as well.
And Jennifer, before we let you go, Pam was sharing, you may have heard it in the clip off the top, it was a what festival where they had?
A testicle festival out in South Dakota. I used to live across the street from a buffalo farm, and I'd look out my window and there'd be 300 buffalo on a range. So every year in this tiny little town, they used to have what's known as the Testicle Festival.
And Pam would go over and pet some of the animals and say, if you only knew what they're planning to do with you.
But that's what they always did. It was a seasonal food because they didn't want a whole lot of males, right? So they castrated most of the males, and they weren't going to throw that food out. There's a big, huge world testicle championship every year in Serbia. You might want to enter, Pam.
Okay. Okay, Jennifer, where can people find out more about Jennifer McClagan, her books, and her approach to nutrition?
I have a website, of course, which is jennifermcclagan.com, and you can find out about my books there, and you can go to my blog there, and my books are available in small bookstores, I guess, and on Amazon.
Jennifer, we're going to let you go, and then we're going to hear from John about the impact it's had on his life eating the way you suggest. Jennifer, you've been a real sport. We thank you so much, and boy, talk about someone who has courage you and beautiful books to write about your approach to nutrition, and we salute you.
Well, you come up to Toronto, and I'll cook you some testicles.
I'll be in touch for sure, Jennifer. Just, thank you so much.
Just leave out the pezzle, okay, or whatever that word was. Okay, we'll be back with the incredible story, Pam. John's story is incredible.
John Cranin's story, yeah. We're going to be all inspired by his story.
And, John, you work where?
I work for a supermarket major chain.
He works in a supermarket.
And I'm actually in the dairy. I'm the dairy department.
He's in the dairy section. Oh, boy, are we going to milk this one? We'll be back in just a moment. Utterly unbelievable. We'll be back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Fat is not a four-letter word. Not in my house, anyway. I guess I grew up. I just grew up with fat. You know, we always had fat in our house. In our refrigerator, we had a wax container of lard that we used to use for baking and frying in. And
Andy Udman in conversation with Pam Colleen, as we are every Thursday morning from 10 until 11 o'clock. And I want to tell you folks what I have in my hand. I have a belt, a man's belt, and I just tried it on. And I'll tell you, it's made me giddy. I feel good about this because I could wrap two of me inside this belt. We have in studio the man who was wearing this belt, John. And John, this was your belt, and it fit how long ago?
About a year ago. Oh, a little over a year ago. June 17th was when I started my new lifestyle of high fat, low carb.
Tell us where you were a year ago and what your doctor said to you.
I went to the doctor and he said I had diabetes. I'm no longer diabetic. And he said, you're going on insulin, John. Your numbers are way, way out. So I'm going to put you on insulin. I said, no, I'm not going on insulin. And the doctor said, well, I'm not prescribing anything else. And I said, well, give me 2 months to lose some weight, and we'll see how my numbers are then. And he said, I'll give you 2 weeks. And up to this doctor's appointment, I had been doing a lot of research, reading Gary Taubes and Atkins and watching stuff on YouTube. And I thought, I'm going to try that. And this was kind of my epiphany. So right away that day, I went out and bought a pack of bacon and eggs and cheese and creams, and I called the receptionist for my doctor. I said, I'm not going to be able to make that appointment, but I can come in the next day. And she laughed. She said, well, the doctor thought you may call and say that, so he wants you in here in 11 days. So I said, okay. So I went in, and we went to the scale, and I stepped on it, and I lost 19 pounds.
Wow.
But now that's all water. Like for the size I was, that's why I was able to lose that much. But since that time, I keep doing research, and I was listening to CJBK one Thursday morning, and I heard Pam and you speaking, and I thought, well, that's someone I want to speak to. So I got a hold of Pam, and Pam has given me a lot of enlightening advice. And again, I've done a lot of research on my own, and I've met up with circles of other people who believe in high-fat, low-carb, who have lost lots of weight. And for instance, last week you had Tom Naughton on. I kind of feel like a karaoke singer following Pavarotti, but Tom is certainly one of the titans when it comes to low-carb, high-fat, and there are a lot of other people out there. And I have been eating basically very low carbs, not normally more than 25. Now, you can go higher. My friends call me a zealot when it comes to this type of a lifestyle.
I call you a hero. You are at 334 pounds. You have lost 105 pounds. Pam, this is an amazing story.
It's an amazing story.
And this is as a direct result of listening to Pam Colleen on CJBK Radio. 105 pounds?
105 pounds. And well, John's come to every single one of my boot camps, too. He comes to all my nutrition boot camps, and he's online as an activist on Facebook trying to inspire other people so that they choose the right foods in order to balance their metabolism.
What size is this belt, by the way?
That's a 54.
And what are you down to now?
I'm now wearing a 40-inch belt, but I'm going to have to get a hole punch out again and put a fresh new hole in it.
So you've lost weight, but are you healthy?
I've had my blood work done. My triglycerides are perfect. My HDL is good. And other than the heart, which has improved, I'm fine. My blood pressure is good.
What do you think are the key elements of his diet, which is doing this, Pam?
Well, he's returning to his traditional diet. He is of Dutch ancestry. The Dutch would have eaten about 70% of their calories from animal fat, and that's exactly what he's doing.
My mother, she made tongue. She would slice it, put it on sandwiches for our lunch. She'd put a little bit of Miracle Whip on it. Not that I recommend I would eat Miracle Whip today, but it was delicious. And she also made pea soup and put in pig's feet, left the fat.
There are people right now saying, you know what, I'd rather be 334 pounds than eat tongue.
Well, it's good. As other people have said, it's like delicious meat. A lot of the Asian markets in London carry these animal parts. I've seen cows' hooves. I've seen goats' hooves and chicken feet. And they all, the Orientals as well, East Asians, they eat this as well.
Have your patrons at the grocery store where you work at noticed? Obviously, they've noticed.
Oh, I had one customer who said, look at the back of your pants. Looks like two cats are fighting in them.
But, they have to be asking questions. You've lost 105 pounds.
I have some customers who are now living the same lifestyle I am. I'm being asked questions by people I work with. A person I worked with, Lori, she was a big influence in me adopting this lifestyle because she'd already lost 100 pounds on the same type of diet. And I would get frustrated. This is before I went to find out I had to be on insulin. I would tell Lori, you can't do it. I'm trying and you can't do it. And I would get mad at her. And she said, you can. You just got to keep sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the doctor's visit, I said, okay, I have to really get serious about this. And here
but
I am
do the
today.
Doctors even listen to you when you suggest that you're eating this way? Do they
I don't
they
tell
listen?
I don't tell my doctor that I eat a lot of fat because he just...
He'd punch you.
He wants me to meet the head of some department at the university and have me speak to her because I won't take the statins at all.
Okay. Mm. We have just 2 minutes left. I want to share this with Pam, John. You'll understand. Pam, I'm so delighted that John came in because, you know, not everybody loves you, Pam. most people do. I get tremendous email, phone. But John is a living example that following what you're saying works.
Right, but it's not just John. We had the documentary here in Canada, My Big Fat Diet, which aired on CBC. Dr. Jay Wertman oversaw this one-year project where about 100 people were put on a high-fat diet, and they lost about half a ton of weight. Many of them were able to come off their medications or at least reduce their medications. I mean, this is so revolutionary in terms of being able to save our healthcare system, but unfortunately, the people who should be listening to this information, the doctors, Health Canada and so on, are the last to hear the message.
Does that frustrate you, John? I mean,
I see customers go by. I saw a man about 6'6". He had to be close to 400 pounds. And I looked in his buggy, and he had six packages, one dozen each package of Kaiser buns. Mm-hmm. And I wanted so badly to say something, but I'm in a position where I can't do that. But I see people, I see young girls go by, and you see Pop-Tarts and...
Box cereals, granola bars. And
chocolate milk.
Sugar.
See, I no longer have a sweet tooth. I now have a fat tooth. For me, it's not fat phobic. It's sugar phobic.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, most people don't understand this. When you're sugar phobic and you're a big fan of fat, you lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the brain starts working.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, the mood started improving.
We convert them one at a time, Pam.
We have to do this at a grassroots level. Even last week, Tom Naughton said, we're not going to be able to influence the people at the top. They're not going to hear us.
Remind the folks again, the author and where they can get information.
Three fabulous books, a trilogy written by Jennifer McClagan, Bones, Odd Bits, and Fat. All three different titles there.
McClagan, I'll spell it for you, McClagan. Unbelievable. Bones is one book, Fat is the other, and Odd Bits, my favorite.
Right. And many thanks to John Cranin for coming in this morning to share his very inspiring story.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
If you learn nothing else today, you learn there's something out there called Pizzle. You may also learn you don't want to know the word, but that's your choice. 11 o'clock news in just a moment. Much more on the other side of the news.